7 o'clock.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the Consciousness Shift with Nicole Tomasini and Gwen Berry. Nick, I think you're in some very freezing weather up there, aren't you?
It's no joke.
I mean, it's seriously, seriously cold in the Northeast all the way down to Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Canada's really pumping it through.
Yeah, we're really having our version of it, too. I mean, we're going down into the 50s again tonight. I'm not complaining one bit. The days have been just beautiful for us. That's tropics, though. So tonight, before we get underway, let's listen to a little Dr. John. What do you think?
Nice.
Mother Earth for the sky, grandfather sun, grandmother moon, were the ancients prophesied, they hate us staying alive, with their tales of certain doom, east, north, south, and west, up below in sacred center. The seven directions protect. The spirit never neglects us. The earth was created in 7 days. Man was conceived in 6 nights. 13 steps of creation. Take 9 levels to evolve. Around the center we all revolve. 2012 is not the end. It's time to begin again. Who will benefit from a state of panic? The same negative energy that currently rules the planet. The great spirit prophesied, when the light shines in the sky, we all will fade away. Listen at those open winds, got so much to teach us all. Every time we fall, listen at yourself. Good feelings aren't really right. Listen at yourself when you listen to light. We ignorant to memories, times we wasted, make us cry if we start to lose the gifts of love and sex we take and get us deep inside the blue. Listen at yourself. Good feelings aren't really right. Listen at yourself.
Listen at yourself when you listen to life.
because Dr. John would listen at our prayer.
Funky tune. I loved it.
Really, really nice tune. Yeah, nice words. A lot of numerology in the beginning, all the good numbers. So I guess maybe it would be a good idea to say that last night you and I participated in a conference call with her. I don't really know her name. She's known by as the Angelic. Her business manager and has been ordering from daughters for a while. And Barbara's a nice gal, and she invited me to listen in on this conference call, which was about abundance and redefining our relationship with money.
Yeah, it was really cool. I'm really glad that you called me into that one, because, you know, you never know what these things are going to be, but you also don't know until you give it a shot. So, I mean, it really shifted a lot of things for me. I felt a lot better when I woke up this morning about my relationship with money, that's for sure.
Well, I tell you, I'm happy. That's a good thing. I'm not sure if it's shifted me or not. I know that I learned something really important, though, I think, and that was that, and I wrote it down, and I'm trying to find it. She asked a question, she asked two questions that I thought were really important, and I think it's important that folks ask themselves these questions, too. What do you need from your money? I mean, you have a relationship with money. She presented money I thought was really unusual. She presented money as an elemental.
Mm-hmm. Very unusual and very helpful to think of it that way, because it is. It's an element in every one of our lives, whether we like it or not.
And if you give enough energy, and gosh knows that the energy... I've got a puppy that has right now is he's standing on the chair with his paws on the back, and that chair is looking out this old-fashioned window. And, oh, okay, now he's turning around and sitting down. I thought he was getting ready to jump. I'm sorry. Elroy, you made it into the webcast here. You better just cut it out. You give your mommy a heart attack. Anyway, elemental, yeah. Money has probably the largest energy, if you think about it. It has the largest energy focus on the planet, other than, and she came right out of the root chakra, because the root chakra is where our basic huge amount of energy is stored in this planet. In survival and making sure that we have enough to keep us comfortable, well-fed, warm, clean, healthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of that stems from the root chakra. And she basically put it to, also she said, and I agree with this, we have to move it out of the root chakra and bring it up through our heart center, and that's how to create plenty and release need. And what was your version on it? I think that was the right. I also wanted to say that the two questions that she gave us that I thought were really important was, what do you need from your money, and what does your money need from you? And for me, that was the more surprising question, because I was listening and what I heard, but please share your side.
Yeah, well, that made so much sense, talking about, you know, that it's so rooted in that base chakra, like so many other things, you know, and to raise our vibration with it, and to have it come from the love chakra. And she kept saying that money wants to be invited up into the love chakra, wants to work with us. And it really, that part really hit home for me, because I thought of it like someone or something that really just wants to be loved, and I've neglected it and done all these things. And when she was talking about what kind of relationship you have with money, which ties in with the second question you mentioned of what does your money need from you, I got from all of that that I was this naggy, annoying girlfriend that, you know, when you're here, it's fine. I'm a little leery of you even still when you're here, even though I'm saying I'm excited. And then when you're not here, I go into total freak out mode and I'm sending 5,000 texts and calling and crying and making up all kinds of stories. I was like, oh my God, I'm that girl. And I can't stand, you know, anything being or having anyone be like that with me. It's not a good look. So, because what money said to me was basically, I want to be happy with you and don't stress about me. Like, we have a much better time together when you're happy that I'm here and you know I'm going to come, even when I'm not here right this second. That was very helpful.
Well, yeah, trusting your relationship with money is not going to break, is what you just said, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's how I am with my friends and with anyone. I mean, a lot of the shifting that I've done with myself is, you know, balancing the male and female energy and the neediness, and also just standing in my own being and feeling love no matter what anybody is doing, anybody that says there's something or doesn't act like or does act like, whatever, just be able to stand in my own power. So I've already learned that.
I hear all of this and I understand it and I know where she was coming from and what she was saying, and it's really good psychology. The trouble with this relationship with money is that, you know, if money is just having the relationship with you alone, it would be so much easier for me to think in those terms. There's an exception here, though, and perhaps you can reel me back from it. But the relationship with money is not just between me and money. It's between me and the landlord, me and the cable company, me and the, you know, the grocery store. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The relationship. Please.
But I also think that all those things are secondary. They come after your relationship with money. Sure, it's going to flow in and out. And that was also what you mentioned, is, you know, the more that we have, the more that we can transform, you know, this world that we live in. So, again, I think it's standing in your own energy, no matter what anybody else is asking for, is doing, you know.
Trusting.
I think they're two separate things, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh, trusting. No, I said all of that because I wanted you to say that. I'm thinking there will be people who listen to this and who will have the same thing going on in their heads. When she said, what do you need from your money, my answer was a substantial flow in and out that provides growth and opportunities to create more without stress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without a lot of people, I'd say the majority of people on the planet, really, are dealing with a huge amount of stress contained around we think of money as, that's the other thing, as American bills folding or, you know, what have you. Well, when we were told to take something out, a piece of money, I came out with a British pound, which was a coin. I'm going to come over and get you if you don't cut it out. I'm sorry.
Hell, Roy.
We're in a new house and the dog is, you know, not really realizing what bothers mommy. Anyways, there's so much stress attached to it. And, you know, the thing is, Nick, all of the things that you say back to me about it are the good ones, are the good answers. I understand that. What does my money need from me? The other question, what does my money need from me? I really opened my heart and my mind and listened, and I thought, well, just as you've been saying about trust, I got consistency. It needs consistency from me, enthusiasm, enjoyed without fear or lack or scarcity, and spent with care and an eye on building and growing and healing, you know, the good things. So I'm on a seesaw, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes a lot of sense because the biggest thing that switched over for me was trusting this process, whatever was going to happen yesterday, and also trusting that I can form a different relationship with money. And the second that really solidified it is in the morning, I still felt the same way. I looked at my bill, and I still felt much better about looking at it. I could see the difference in the way that I'm looking at it. And if nothing else, it's relaxing my stress about money internally. It's like naturally soothing it because I'm not feeding it anymore. So we'll see how this comes about, but it has to be right because it's all about raising our vibration with everything that we're dealing with. And so it's a much more comfortable vibration, and it's much more joyful and loving. So,
I agree with you. I'm hearing what you're saying, and I'm agreeing with you. I'm not quite sure. Everybody goes through their own process of getting to it. You know what I mean?
Sure, absolutely.
And
who knows, if I had done this a different day, I may have felt differently. I guess it caught me on a good day, like, you know.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm so sorry. Sing a song for me, will you?
Okay.
Go and grab this. You come here. Yeah.
All right. Moving things around. Decorating. Like, I'm in a new house. I'm not sure what's going on. So you bring up and you step on that, it falls over. Ah, crap. Everybody's unhappy. That's fine. I'm a dog. Commentary.
I really do apologize.
I was doing Elroy commentary from his point of view. What's it like?
It's called Gwen's Last Nerve. Oh, my gosh. So please go on.
Yeah. So I think no matter how it comes about, like you said, any road that you take, but just knowing, you know, just being on that seesaw, like, that means that there's new information that wasn't there before, you know, so, and it's one more tool in the toolbox. I liked how she was using that, because we all know these days, we all have our tools on, you know, how to work with ourselves when we're teeter-tottering or having a little trouble over here. You know, we take out the toolbox, so it's a good one to have.
I think you're right. I'm going over it, last night. I mean, why don't you describe the process we went through last night from the best of your recollection? Because I think you've got the more positive, shareable. You know.
Sure. Sure. Well, first she talked about what is, asked three questions about how it is, what you like about money right now, what you don't like about money, and another question. And then she said, we'll come back to it and we'll see how your view of money has changed even in this hour. And then she walked us through talking about money wanting to have a different relationship with us and to come through the heart chakra and wanting to be incorporated and work with us. And I like how she talked about money as if money has sent a message to the angelic saying, listen, you know, we want to be embraced this way now. We want to come with you on this ascension process, really. So, and then she walked through all kinds of things of feeling the money and touching it and feeling that, you know, if you have a bill that it's warm and feel it as a vibrating thing, which definitely happens for me, and talking to it, and really this idea of money being like a lover, and we can look at it in a lot of different ways. I think really whatever works, you know, sexual energy is a very powerful energy, so if you can connect with it on that way, great. If you can't, or it doesn't make sense, I mean, like I said, I really went more to someone or something that I love and have neglected. Yeah, maybe it's my actor training that's where I tuned into it. And that feeling of, oh my goodness, I am so sorry. I have been such a pain in the ass and just not loving, really. And I went through that emotional response to it. And then she walked me through all other things and then asked us a few other questions at the end, like the ones that you're talking about, and how you, and she asked how you feel about money now. And I'm so totally different from where I was before, and really just because I started to understand that it's a relationship. It's not this thing that floats around and comes or doesn't all willy-nilly. Yeah, I hear you telling me it's vibration, but I've been working on this vibration thing for, like, years now, so why isn't it flowing? Why isn't it flowing, you know? And just to make it more tangible of fixing the vibration. I mean, really, all you're doing there, just like in acting, you're putting yourself into that vibration in that moment with this person having this emotional response. And I think that's where the flexing happens, the vibrational and energetic personal drama kind of comes in because you start to hear all these things, you know. That's what I would say.
Yeah, I get that. I'm probably my, I don't, you know, I've spent the last, I guess, week a little overwhelmed with events in life, and perhaps that's my stumbling block right now. Mm-hmm. I was very positive going into the phone call. And I think overall it was a positive experience. Today it's a little daunting again. It's like I didn't hold on to the good stuff. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, it's a download, isn't it? Like,
and you do.
Else,
you did. So for us tonight discussing it, it's a good thing because we're presenting the yin and the yang, the black and the white of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I think anybody's going to have, I think everybody would have a totally different experience. And depending on what kind of a day, what they're really fitting in that day or this week will make a difference. But definitely a great exercise to go through.
It is. The one thing I have learned over and over again is whatever you focus on the most is what you bring to your doorstep. And what we're learning through exercises like this, and meditations and exercises like this, and changing our relationship, how we view money or anything else for that matter, healing or, you know, how to work with our body or anything. I think the most, boy, it went off right on a tangent there, didn't I? The biggest thing that stands before us is just feeling it. You know, feel it. Feel the good thing. Mm-hmm. Feel the good part. It's the emotion. You know, it's if you can bring it through your heart center and not attach negative emotion, but feel the vitality, feel the good part of it, feel there's a difference in being emotional and feeling it. Mm-hmm. And I realize that. I've accomplished it from time to time. It's carrying it in the everyday. And you know what? You, as you've said several times, well, it's about we're learning, we're being tested. And this is about the trust, you know? And
Yeah, and
trusting today, I guess.
It's a tag team with what you said, with, you know, sometimes that works, what you were saying, absolutely, and you just put yourself into that loving vibration. But sometimes we all know that, you know, today you're just not getting there. Like, this thing is just pulling and pulling and pulling. And I find it very helpful to turn around and look at it and go, okay, if you want to feel sad or stressed or angry, whatever, let's go. Let's really go into this and just feel it. And 9 times out of 10, it's far less than when I was trying to avoid it so hard. It's like I was stressing myself, and really it was just trying to give me a message. It was just trying to get me to look at something. And, you know, and let's be honest, sometimes it's that 1 time out of 10 where you go into the throes of it and you're feeling it and you're getting tossed and turned in the ocean of your emotions. And but, you know, you can't cry forever. The body can't take it. So you will calm down and you will get through it. But honestly, I think that's like 1 time out of 10, you know. I mean, really,
well,
when
you
turn around and look at it, it's so much easier.
You mentioned something that was really important a few weeks back about trusting your process when you're going through the negative portion of it. You just have to do it.
Yeah, you can't just be all roses. You know, sometimes you got to roll up your sleeves and get dirty with yourself and be a mess for, you know, a little while, whatever that is. You know, just know that you are working through it. Keep your eye on the prize. No, you're just a little muddy right now.
It's quite true. I think it's quite true. So tell me, what do you, the other thing we were going to talk about tonight, well, conclude, make a conclusion. Mm-hmm. Say the positive aspects for folks from your perspective, Nick. What are the positive aspects? What are the exercises that people can do? I think that asking those 2 questions was real valid for me, that what do you need from your money and what does your money need from you? What does my money need from me? You know, I think those are 2 very valuable questions.
And writing it down, definitely. Writing the question and writing your answer and keeping it short. She really only gave us about 30 seconds, you know, or a minute. And
no,
to write it down, to really look at it. As well as those first questions of what do you love about money and what do you hate about money? That was also, that really gives you a perspective as to where you stand with it. And so, yes, definitely asking those questions and writing it down and keeping it short and then looking at money as an element, as you do water, fire, earth, air, spirit, everything that we've been working with,
well,
it has a vibration, it has a feeling.
I think it's about looking at it as something that's living, something conscious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Money has a consciousness, a presence, and it does. It basically does. It's for me, wrapping my head around it, I'm way too, you know, I've got to think this through. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. One thing that also helped at the time when I was thinking about, when she was talking about, you know, money wants to be embraced up in the heart chakra. So really it wants to be loved. And I thought of it as, you know, this captive of Babylon and, you know, this evil that has taken it over it, and it wants out. It knows that the ship is sinking, and it doesn't want to go down with the ship, and it's
That's
just
good.
Been over there for a while, and it wants to come with us. It knows that it's part of the manifestation of being able to bring the change that we want to see in this world, and it can be a beautiful thing. And I think it wants to be a beautiful thing again. It doesn't want to be associated with the sinking ship.
Well, I do think that money is a beautiful thing. There's good money, there's bad money, and there's nasty money.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's three sides to money: good, bad, and nasty, or maybe someone would say evil. I think of it as good, bad, and nasty because that's the way I was raised. In, when I was born, I you know, I come from a side of privilege where, you know, I had what I needed and my education was looked to and looked after and la-di-da, that kind of thing. And yet, here I am challenged, which is really quite fortunate. I've been challenged in life, too, to create my own. It's really, when you look at it from the right lens, through the right lens, it's a wonderful thing. It has its challenges. And money can be good. It can be, there's beautiful money out there. Beautiful money from the most incredible places. I get into, our good buddy is in the chat, as you can see, Tricia, and she spoke of her father being someone who looked upon, you know, his career and what he had built in life. That's good money. That's wonderful, beautiful money. You know, he made a living, and he bought a home, and he put his children to school. You know, that's beautiful money. And then you look at someone who... And people, we should keep it away from actually people, the judgment of people maybe, because even Donald Trump can spend good money giving to an AIDS project. Look at the beautiful things the Rockefeller Institute and Trust does all over the world. That money goes out. All over the world, there is wonderful, beautiful money going out of that. So
And I think it's what people are doing with it. I mean, you know, the money probably, like anything else, will take on the vibration of what's around it. You know, like, you know, with water, it literally, you know, changes on a molecular level. You know,
it's very confusing. Because when we look at it from that perspective, we know that like attracts like.
Mm-hmm.
How do we attract beautiful, good money, and have all this? You know, it's a mind teaser to me. But
stop hating on it. You know, I mean, know that money is wherever money flows, and it gets called in different places, and it comes through, you know, just like air. It's like you can have stagnant air, you can have fantastic mountain air, you can have modern city air, but it's still all right, you know.
It's like you can have dangerous fire, and you can have warming, good cooking fire, you know.
That's right.
And I do think it's quite true. There's beautiful money, and there's a nasty, ugly money.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And And Trisha's writing in here. She says that as it happens, I was at a prosperity workshop with Max this weekend looking at exactly how to attract prosperity. Isn't that funny? And we did that phone call. I didn't think to send an invite to Trisha last night for that. I'm sorry about that, Trisha, but there are others for free that you mm-hmm. could listen into. Well, you know, I didn't because I asked you to come with me, Nick, because I'd never listened in and I had I didn't know what to expect, you know?
Right. Yeah, maybe we should give the website. What was it? I wrote it down. Thehighestfrequency.com. And it sounds mm-hmm. like you get a few of them and you can just get into the circle and see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm actually trying to find the website, but yeah, it's about bringing the heart, the energy, and maybe this is what I mean when I'm talking about beautiful money and then the nasty money. You know, mm-hmm. take it out of that root chakra of survival, must have, and crisis and stress, and bring it into the heart center, where it can filter through as something that is invited and honored and used wisely and goodly. Goodly. Good Lord. I just stepped back in time, but hey, if it works, run with it.
But it's good. Every time on the show, New York has to give, you know, some pops up in the air. All these sirens. I try to mute it when it comes through. Anyway, it's like always when we're hitting on the good stuff here. But yeah, I think it really is about this relationship that we have. And it's surprising when you really look at the relationship with it as a thing, not just this sort of intangible piece of paper that doesn't mean anything, but yet the world runs on it, you know. Those are the ways that I would kind of think of it before, and it's like, well, how do I get it out of, you know, how do we get it out of just 4 blocks away, Wall Street, and have it spill into the people? But really, it starts with the relationship, doesn't it? That's what brings it home and makes
right.
it personal. And
but the activism that we embrace to it with like owls and all of the rest, you can also put that energy there for transmutation. It's like snake energy, and we are, after all, going into the year of the snake.
Mm. What does that mean? Can you?
The Chinese year of the
yeah.
snake. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did open your mic, area code.
Yeah, I heard. I was just catching the end of what you said, since, you know, it's a little, there's a delay when you turn off your sound and before you pick up, and so I lose
right.
a little bit of the conversation. But the last I was hearing was about shifting from the root chakra to the heart chakra, and you kind of have the energy rising like a snake, the kundalini. The
mm-hmm.
Yeah, kundalini energy comes up through every chakra, awakening it and putting it into alignment. I don't think people understand that their kundalini energy actually works on them in small spurts at different times in life with different, usually triggered by emotional or stressful dilemmas. Then there are those people who are working on raising their kundalini energy, and they manage to do so for good health, and you know, it's not something that sits down there waiting for the huge, you know, moment that you achieve a burst of awareness or nirvana. I can remember years ago that there were people, especially people who were into yoga, and that would come in and teach that it was a very rare occurrence that kundalini energy rose in people, because it was so the action of kundalini energy was so outstanding. Well, I think it's more the norm than it is that kind of, you know, once in a blue moon activity. You following me there, guys?
Mm-hmm.
I really do, especially here we are in 2013. I gotta say that that's got to be where we're leaning towards.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about the snake a little bit, going into the year of the snake.
We're leaving the year of the dragon, which is a difficult time, and we're going into the year of the snake with the Chinese, and I'm going to look it up here. But I know what snake energy is. It's a transmutation of poisons. In other words, it's making poison, rendering it mute and bringing it to a good quality. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, well, and it's interesting because you had been talking about how there was, like, good money and nasty money and you know, shifting the looking at that, and it was what we were talking about. I just think it's interesting. I was at a prosperity workshop too. I'm like, oh well, you know, no accidents. But Max Ryan, who I think you know I work with, he's a life coach who was trained in Course in Miracles by Marianne Williamson years ago, and anyway, he's done that, and then he's gone off and done a lot of work with Law of Attraction as well. And we were looking at how really money is neutral. It's our perception that not just money is neutral, but everything is neutral. It's our perception that we put on it from our experience and, you know, blah, blah, blah. We look at things and decide, and so what is it, when we're looking at money, we did some exercises too where, you know, writing things down and just looking at more like in prosperity, so in what that means to you, which, you know, money's part of it for sure, but how, you know, just your, I can't remember, your fulfillment needs, like what are you getting from your job, you know, besides the money that makes it worthwhile and makes it fulfilling, and then also what's between you and that, what's getting in your own way. And I don't know, I just realized that, you know, my perception of the money is that somebody else has money, not me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that, you know, because I'm a teacher and, you know, and I'm not a man, and I think that, you know, like in my head, like you were talking about, you were raised about to look at money a certain way, you know, and so was I. I mean, this is something that, and it's not like anybody intentionally said, oh, no, Tricia, money is for men, not for you.
Mm-hmm.
But that must have been an idea that was been in my head since I was like 5 or 6 years old, which, as we all know, is like 50 years ago, and that's what people thought. And, you know, and so I didn't even really realize that, like, I imagine my bank account now and where I wanted my bank account to be. And I had been thinking about prosperity for a couple of days before the workshop and knew that somehow for me, relationship and prosperity were tied together. And then I realized it's because, well, when I was in the workshop, I was like, well, duh, that's because I'm not a man, you know, that I had put a gender bias on myself because of my own perception that, you know, was interfering with me. Because when you look around, there's plenty of women that make all kinds of money. You know, and for somebody, you know, somebody who's as big of a feminist as I am, I mean, you know how I, you know, I mean, I really am. But to know that that was in my own way and probably had been for the last however long I've been thinking about money and my living.
So you develop exercises that help you see more clearly beyond those old ideals for yourself.
Yeah, you know, like it's one of the ways that I've looked at money in the past with Max is through an archetypal lens. So what archetype, how are you relate? What one of your, you know, your person and your personality, how do you see yourself with regard to money? And I realized that I saw myself as a struggling student with regard to, you know, in terms of money. You know, and
I actually found out that we are coming out of a year of the dragon, which has been a difficult year and is a difficult year. It is a shedding year. It's a cycle of challenge, but also of reaching great heights, too. Going into the year, a year of the snake always, and this year it is a water snake, but here's what the indications say for going into the year of the snake, which I think we've just gone into or are about to. And the ancient Chinese wisdom says that a snake in the house is a good omen because it means your family won't starve. This could be taken historically to mean that snake could never have a problem with his family starving because he is such a great mediator, making him good at business, which I would say you're the snake, good for business. Or it could mean that snake will be willing to sacrifice possessions, something that snake has a lot of, and in order to pay for his family's food. Anyway, it is interpreted as representative of the snake's character and as a measure of the value he puts on his material wealth. Snake is keen, cunning, quite intelligent, and wise. The year of the snake indicates that things are going to turn towards a more positive, useful, and, you know, what do you call it, abundant or good turn. Whereas we've been in such a difficult time. It's lucky, and it's love, peace, and prosperity is what is indicated this year in Chinese zodiac.
Wow.
Last year was the year of the dragon, which was challenge and reaching past old limitations.
That's true.
Okay, so the world's been seen through enough conflicts and natural disasters. What can we expect in a year of a snake full of peace and love? And within the Vietnamese dynamic, upcoming 2013 would be a wealthy year when reproduction of all kind is blessed, and love is definitely the only thing that humans will think of. So it's going to be a material wealth gaining year plus. So it's a prosperity year.
Well, and also,
yeah, go ahead.
No, it's just that often you talk in other contexts about, you know, when we're coming from a place of lack and fear, when really there's enough for everybody, you know, in the world, you know, the world that there's plenty for. I mean, I know that there are the 1% hoarding all the wealth and all of that, you know, but when we look at our own self and like you were talking about, not holding your feelings about money in the root chakra about survival and fear and things like that, and you look at it from a different perspective that's more loving to at least yourself, like Nicole was talking about earlier from the workshop, you know, let's look at it anyway. It's just an interesting way to, like you're talking about, moving the feeling about money from the root chakra up to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really important, bringing things through the lens of the, and everything that is out there right now, ladies, with people in the spiritual, metaphysical, new age, wellness, personal growth, you know, the Booga Booga community that the world is generally, you know, embracing these days more and more. We're talking about folks actually shedding the fear more and more. I think that is happening. There's more positive than there's been negative in so long. With all that's been going on, people are getting more and more awake. And I think one of the reasons is because of the political activism and the awakening to all of the, you know, all the lies and all of the falsehood that stands before people, and the dire black and white of those who have and those who have not.
Mm-hmm. And also, when you know you can get through these things, I think after a certain period of time, you know you can survive. Because you have. Patricia and I were talking about that the other day. Like, if you know that you can go through these things that are very difficult in life, going through a divorce, moving, you know, any kind of health issue, whatever, like, if you can survive these things, then you can do it. You know you can do it. You just have to figure out how you're going to do this one, you know?
I needed to hear that one. Thank you. I really needed to hear that one tonight. Yes. Remember, and my sister is good at saying so, you know, it's always all right, Gwen. Just you know, batten down the hatches, honey, and put your hand on the helm.
Totally.
Oh, God. Yeah. Before we lose, ladies, we've got about 8 minutes of show left, and I really did want to mention this EFT tapping that Louise Hay has been, you know, touting or promoting out there.
Yeah, I got an email about that.
Yeah, there's if you just go to YouTube and you look up EFT tapping and tapping points, there's some really wonderful videos there that show you how to do these tapping points. And basically, it's a process of actually embracing or looking at, being willing to look at whatever emotional issue is the, you know, the seed there that is whatever emotional issue is, like with prosperity and myself. Or, you know, I'm so tired of the word prosperity. Money in the fucking bank, okay, ladies?
I know that.
Money in the fucking bank, la-di-da.
Yeah, well, I could use some. Personally, I could use a little more, you know. And that's, you know, it's whatever is in between you and getting and reaching your goal, you know. And I think that's usually the self-talk that, you know, in your head, thinking that you can't, or I mean, you know, sometimes there are impediments, like the thing you want to do most is 1,000 miles away, and how are you going to get there or whatever. But you know, just it really is a matter of
I have
getting in your own way.
I have this wonderful commercial right now.
Okay.
For Daughters of Isis money oil, money spray. I do call it a prosperity box, but we make soap, incense, oil, mist. I can't tell you how many wonderful people have given me wonderful stories about how it has absolutely worked for them. And they were so surprised, and they were so happy. And it gave them a great deal of joy, or it gave them a great deal of relief, or they were just in wonderment, how the hell did you do that? And it, all I did was understand completely that I needed to create some sensual inspiration through scent that allowed folks to relax and enjoy or release fear, you know, just have that feeling of good. And here I am bitching, moaning, and complaining.
Well, I tell you what, I love that prosperity, mister. I love squirting, you know, spritzing my money and thinking when I'm spritzing it, you know, make everybody happy that you touch and come back to me three times or five times
mm-hmm.
or ten times.
Yeah,
and it's really great to, you know, just like when you're shopping, just to open your wallet and you know, then your money's, I mean, at least my money is very fragrant, and I love to tell people, oh, that's the prosperity thing, is this money's going to make you happy and come back to you 10 times, just like me. And they look at me like, oh, that's so cool. And then you have this really fun little interchange.
And don't you feel good? Don't you feel good when you
every
do something?
Every
you
time.
Every
time.
Yeah.
And so that's putting the money on, that's putting the good, you know, that's putting your good vibes. That's raising the vibration of your transaction just through your own attitude. Instead of like, oh, God, there's my last 10 bucks.
In a nutshell, you got it. That's where it's at, in a nutshell. And allowing that reciprocal energy to come on home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, so far, so good.
And
ever
it smells
since I got
like money,
fridge.
Too. And I was just like, essence flower, but it smells like money to me, only on like an essence level. It's pretty cool. When you smell like money, it's awesome. You're like, I'm money. That's how I use it. There's two endorsements, right?
Yeah, we love it.
We all have it, we all use it, we all love
it. Oh, play the commercial.
I was just doing the commercial, you know.
Yeah, that was
there wasn't really a commercial, we just did it?
Yeah, you were part of it.
Oh, well, good. We did a good job.
We did. Ladies, we are down to it. We've only got about 3 minutes. Next week, I'm not quite sure what's going on, but it'll be good.
Yeah, for sure. I'll just say on the tapping before we leave that Issa taught me a grounding exercise, and it involves tapping right above your eyes and right on the breastplate, and then where your ribs start, and for grounding. And it really helped me. It's like it made me feel like, okay, I am a physical being, and I am on this planet. It's like it taps you into yourself. So I could definitely see where, you know, using that, especially maybe for someone that's not used to getting in touch with their emotions, or is a little, doesn't quite know how to work with themselves in that way, to use that tapping as, because emotion is so much stored in our body. So it is a good way to connect all the wires and get everything communicating.
And it's also a really wonderful, useful tool for releasing stress.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm basically trying to do it every night before I go, you know, retire for the evening. I'm trying to do that since I figured it out a few days ago. And it does work. I'm actually sleeping better now that I've moved and I'm in here. I am sleeping. So that's, and there we are, ladies. We're at the end of the show. We got 90 seconds. P.E. Nolan, Tricia Poole.
Thank you. Thank you for another wonderful Thursday night.
Yeah. Always great having you.
and happy, did you, how's everything going with the apartment? It all getting settled in?
Oh, my God,
in?
The apartment is the greatest thing ever. The greatest thing ever. It's like, I mean, talk about removing obstacles and manifesting and all that stuff. I mean, anyway, we'll talk about it. It's just 20 minutes of how great it is. So
it is awesome. I saw it. I can attest to it. And it's a beautiful, beautiful space. It looks
Well,
awesome,
ladies,
awesome.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Nick, for being there. You guys stay warm tonight, and out in your city tomorrow, because I know it's so cold. And we will be back next Thursday at 7 p.m. for the Consciousness Shift with Nicole Tomasini and Gwen Berry. And we will have a guest. We'll promo for you prior to the show.
All
That's
right.
It, ladies.
Good night, everyone.
Okay, good night.